This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Now, it's time to go Inside the Green Room with Danny Green.
What's good, everybody? Welcome into Inside the Green Room. Colin Deniverte, mi nombre es Harrison Sanford. Nosotros hablamos de la NBA. And that's what we're going to do here, but we're going to talk a little bit of, I said we talk about the NBA, but what we're going to do first, before we get into what happened on Wednesday night between the Boston Celtics and the Milwaukee Bucks, we're actually going to break down what the Celtics' issues might be as they try to get to the NBA Finals and potentially win. Right now, they are the betting favorite to win. Speaking of betting favorite, we've seen recently, over the past 24 hours or so, two prominent players, one prominent player, one prominent coach, talk about the influence of sports betting in the NBA. Tyrese Haliburton, who talked about speaking with a sports psychologist, a sports therapist, about some of the issues that he might have on the court, and how he feels as if some people just view him as a prop bet. And then J.B. Bickerstaff, the head coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers, recently said that he has been receiving death threats because of bets that haven't hit, or whatever it might be. People are unhappy with how his team has performed or how he has coached, and they have been threatening him and his family. Danny, you and I know it. Sports betting ain't going nowhere. It is a part of the fabric of sports in other countries, and now it is a part of the fabric of sports here in the United States, or as they would say, Estados Unidos. It is definitely a thing here, and it's not even legal in some of the biggest states in the country yet. It's not legal in California. It's not legal in Texas. It's not legal in Florida. When they become legal, and they will, sports betting is going to become an even bigger fabric of the sport, of the NBA. So with that being said, if you're a coach, if you're a player, how do you handle all attention from sports betting, particularly in this new social media world?
Man, I said betting isn't going anywhere, but it's sad to see some of these people go through this. And, you know, social media has been around for a while, and it's not going anywhere either. So the best way, I said, is find your avenues, find your escapes. Also, find your ways to block and ignore a lot of these comments. You should not allow, if you can't handle that type of situation, regular fans should not be able to comment on your post. Regular fans should not be able to reach you. You can, you know, facilitate how and who can reach you on social media. You can also delete social media during these times. You're in games or a season.
You can't delete social media, because social media is also a way to make money. Like, for example, like if you're a Nike athlete, I'm sure, yes, or if you're a Puma athlete, they want you to post.
You can also use it when you need to use it. My point is, you don't have to delete it. You don't have to follow it. You don't have to. You post when you need to post. You can have only certain people comment. You can only have certain people reach you or DM you. You know, there's ways to maneuver it. There's also ways to just not look at your phone, or to don't have it on the app, or just have it activated, but not on your phone. And when you need to post something, you can activate it to post. There's ways around ignoring or facilitating or not having certain people reach you. It is a sad thing. You should be able to have social media and just be able to interact with your friends, follow your people. There's always somebody that has something to say, but that's just the nature of the business. And it's been like that for some time now, since social media has been around, and it's going to be like that going forward, because social media ain't going nowhere either. And it's probably only going to get worse. So as betting gets worse, social media, more platforms, is now TikTok. There's all these other social media platforms. So you're going to see it everywhere. Lucky for me, back when I was younger, fortunately, it wasn't that big. Now it's gotten bigger, media. But yeah, nobody's family should be threatened. Nobody should be in feel a danger and harm. That's not cool at all. But he said, when it comes to betting, you know, people don't play, and people just make up pages. There's a lot of fake tough gangsters on the internet. People are going to make fake pages to reach you or get under your skin or try to mess with you, or and it may be serious where they're like, yo, you owe me some money. But realistically, we know these people see you in person, they're probably not going to speak the same tone, they're not going to say the same words, and a lot of times these people are not going to be able to get to you. There's a reason why they're behind the keyboard. But yeah, it's sad to see, but it's a part of our game, and it's a gift and a curse. It's going to help our game in terms of making it grow and be bigger, but it also is going to hurt a lot of people mentally. So you got to find your ways mentally to escape. That's all I can give you an advice for that.
And I would almost say too, for certain, you got to know what you can digest. Like, there's certain Instagram accounts you got to know, hey, I shouldn't be following this account, or I shouldn't allow this account to follow me.
I can
me
block this account. I can block that. Yeah.
Yeah. Or if you don't have the bandwidth to do that, and I know some athletes don't like this, I think for people's mental health, or for maximize their time to themselves or with their loved ones, you can have somebody on payroll to manage your social media. And then you just operate a fence. Yeah, then you operate a fence. That's really for your own, really your people. Yeah.
So there's many ways, like you said, to do it. You can have two pages, have your own family page, have your public page, have somebody, your agency represent, or like I said, or operate that. Yes, you do need to know what you can handle. There was something you said, you had a good point. You said, I was trying to circle back on it, but it had to do with along the lines of, man, I forget what you just said, but continue. I didn't mean to.
Just unfollowing certain accounts and just knowing what you can. Yes. Knowing what you can.
Yes. So I had a situation, obviously, in the bubble, playing for the Lakers, big-time organization, big cyberbullies in L.A. You know, a lot of fans that are get on you. It's tougher in that media aspect because the microscope is bigger. You miss a shot, people are going to be on your head and your shit. Now, all it takes is one person like a Snoop to start talking shit, or a Deshaun fucking Jackson from Philly talking shit, whatever, those guys. And, you know, people are going to keep tagging you on their page. Not that I care about them, I'd block them easily, but there's other sports pages that may be talking shit, may not be talking shit, but the fact that people are keep tagging you in these sports pages, you probably just need to block them, and it may be just for the moment or for the couple of months or year, but if you block these certain pages, it won't drive traffic to your account as much. So that's you got to know what you can handle, what you can't handle, and what pages you probably should leave alone for some time. And it may be a page that you don't want to block, but you have to do it for your own mental health.
Yeah, for sure. I remember that one time, actually, we had Alice Caruso on the show back when we were in L.A. And that clip, there was y'all did the handshake with the injection in the thigh because after you got drug tested. And I laughed so hard. And that the clip went viral, not necessarily for the handshake y'all had, but it went viral for the laugh. And I remember feeling like, not liking that people were laughing at my laugh. And then I was like, it took me a while to be like, yo, I don't care. Like, it is, I am who I am. But again, when people don't know who you are and they know they're never going to see you in person, they say whatever the hell they want. And we all think we're grown people. We can handle. Nah, there are limits to all of our tolerance, for sure. When you really got to be secure. Internet's crazy.
And it's undefeated. You ain't gonna ever beat the internet. You gotta figure out ways to hone in on yourself, be secure with yourself, and kind of just ignore it, leave it alone for some time. But it's always gonna be there. And people say and do crazy stuff on the internet, man. And it never loses. It's undefeated. It's gonna never drag you. It's gonna kick your ass. It might hype you up some, but it's undefeated, man.
Yeah, and for sure. And then I actually want to use that to segue to a recent signing that we saw in the NBA. Kai Jones recently signed to a 10-day contract to play with the Philadelphia 76ers. Kai Jones, a former lottery pick, ISIS, seemed to have a lot of potential. But this past summer, he posted a series of concerning videos on social media that eventually led to his departure from the Charlotte Hornets. He eventually played overseas, and now the Philly front office has brought him in for this 10-day contract. And he recently did an exclusive interview with Shams Charania, and he kind of explained what was going on. He had lost both of his grandparents in a very short span of time, and he did not know how to cope with the pain of that. And it's not until he basically started seeing a sports therapist or a therapist in general and doing therapy that he was able to learn how to cope in a positive manner. And we, you know, Danny, we've seen players like DeMar DeRozan. We've seen players like Kevin Love be big advocates for mental health awareness and taking care of your mentals. And obviously, we just came off of this discussion with the sports betting and how it can influence people in a negative or in a negative way. I think. When you last played, did each team have like, obviously they have the athletic trainers, they have the nutritionists. Yeah. Yes. Are there sports therapists on each roster? And do you think the NBA within each organization as a whole has done enough to aid these players in taking care of their mental health?
They've definitely provided the resources. And yes, I remember vividly in Memphis, we had a sports psych, a sports therapist on staff in office, had her own office. And she was around. Not everybody has it that close. They always have a number you can call or somebody can reach out to. In Cleveland, a little different. There was someone there, but it wasn't on in the area like where you can access them quick, easy. Mm. I mean, I was only there for a short span, so I didn't know the building that well. Maybe he could have been upstairs in the building. I don't know. But I know every day when we walked in Memphis, like you walk past that person's office and you could find them.
What about Philly?
Somewhat, not really. There is one, but not on site, on hand. So I think there's a number you can call.
You have somebody on site.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I think it's starting to grow. It's starting to build up more. I think other people are starting to integrate it more, other organizations. I don't recall this, that it could have been upstairs or been accessible. They always leave a line. The trainers, if you have some issues, you talk to the trainers, and they say, all right, we got somebody we can get you in contact with. I don't recall seeing that person's office or being around that person's office of a sports psych or a therapist. But they did have somebody they would bring in, like, all right, you need to talk to somebody here, let's meet this person. But I said, I remember vividly being in Memphis's building, like when we came in the arena, like it was there, like she was part of the staff. I don't know if that's with all teams, it should be. But Kai, I'm glad he's in a better space. He looks and spoke very well when he talked to Shams, and I'm glad he's doing better. He's got something you can't teach. You know, his height and athleticism, he can become a real player and be potentially a good player. Once he gets the mental right and learns the game, he's just behind the eight ball a little bit. And I said, the mental health thing, it's tough. You know, losing loved ones is tough. And I said, he's a young kid. He didn't know how to handle, how to cope with, and you know, thinking about even dying, you know, and didn't want to die that way. Like, it's a tough thing to grasp as a kid or even an adult to like, oh, he's never really experienced this. You know what I'm saying? So it's hard for people to understand it, or even if you've never been through it, you have no idea. So it's hard to compare or cope or listen, understand certain people's backgrounds and family or, you know, foundations, how they were raised. But said for him, it hit him hard. And some people grieve differently. Some people lash out. You just never know. And some people just spiral. But it seems like he's in a good place, a better place. I'm glad he is. And he's with Philly. I hope he sticks there. I hope he can stick, you know, continue, you know, playing this league because he is talented enough. He has athleticism. And he just needs somebody to take a chance on him and kind of build him and develop him.
Before we get to the Boston Celtics, who barely held on to a win on Wednesday night against the Milwaukee Bucks, let's talk about college basketball for a second. The tournament in earnest starts Thursday. I know people calling out of work. I know people are going to be watching on their phones. I know everybody's going to be at the sports bar. If you're a man who likes basketball, you better not have no date scheduled on a Thursday night during March Madness. You know better. With that being said, Danny, we did see the play-in game on Tuesday between University of Virginia and Colorado State.
Yeah.
And everybody is upset that Virginia made it to the field because there's very worthy teams like Pittsburgh, like Seton Hall, like Oklahoma, like St. John's. Those are some of the teams that had a legit case to be in the NCAA tournament. They did not make it, however. And Virginia did. And Virginia scored a grand total, Danny, of 42 points. Now, Tony Bennett has led the Cavaliers to an NCAA championship before, so we can't put too many aspersions on them. But at the same time, they didn't look like a worthy NCAA tournament team. And honestly, as I look at Tony Bennett's Virginia Cavalier program, I have to wonder, is this a program that could ever really return to prominence again under Tony Bennett? because the style that he plays with that pack line defense, there's no explosiveness. Every kid who plays college basketball does not want to stop at college basketball. They want to eventually go to the pros, whether it be in the NBA or overseas. And it doesn't seem to me like they're running any type of program there that's going to entice the true blue chip players or the true players that could really make a difference. It might be time for Tony Bennett to reconstructure his system. And that's for sure. And it's also doubtful. Virginia shouldn't have been in the field. That was bad. Bad, yeah, for college football.
Pretty disappointing, pretty embarrassing. I mean, they scored 14 points, I think, for the half. Like 14 to 27. But the score of both sides was pretty rough. I think Pittsburgh definitely deserved to be there. They probably represented and had a better showing. He could probably change some things up. I don't see them getting the recruits if they continue to have outings like this. Unless they have big money in NIL, I don't see it happening. Instead, how people are transferring and changing and going to places and going to the league from smaller schools, you don't have to go to a ACC school or a top, school to make it to the NBA now or to go to professional. I don't see them being valued like that. He might change the system up a little bit. They need to get some more wins, and they need to finally get some big NIL money to get somebody there, because it's not looking good for the program if you want to turn this thing around. Bad loss, tough loss. It's the first game of the tournament. It should never be like that. You should come out with more enthusiasm, more adrenaline, more more sense of urgency. And that could be from the defensive end too. They could have did something else, but for you to come out and have an outing like that first game of the tournament is not a good look. And, it's tough to watch for the other teams that are at home or NIT that could have been in that position.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely disappointing. Not the way we wanted to start the NCAA tournament, but I have some faith that the NCAA tournament is going to turn up a couple of notches once we get to the real games on Thursday. And that's I'm really excited about.
Tomorrow's going to be serious.
That's going to be serious. Danny, I'm worried. I'm really worried because I've been on this such a good path recently, bro. I've been spending an hour and a half an hour and a half in the gym every day. I've been teaching myself Spanish an hour every day. But I haven't had to deal with the distraction of the NCAA tournament. Usually, I'm done with everything I'm trying to get done before NBA games are on. But now we're talking about games at noon, games at 2. Somehow, some way, I'm going to have to lock in. It's going to be a challenge, but it's going to be a rewarding challenge nonetheless.
Only way you have your dates is if she likes basketball too. The only way you can have your dates on Thursday if she likes sports.
There's no dating from Thursday to Sunday for the next 3 weeks. Point blank.
Yeah,
it's a wrap.
For sure. Yeah. she's a big fan as well. She could watch with you and he'll give you some insight.
Also true. That's also true. All right, let's talk about our topic, and that is the Boston Celtics, which, again, are the betting favorites to win the NBA title. And part of the reason why they're the betting favorites is because the East does not seem as difficult as the Western Conference. Obviously, the Western Conference has the reigning champions in the Denver Nuggets. They also have a team in Minnesota Timberwolves. And those teams are not even the number one seed. The number one seed is the Oklahoma City Thunder. You still have threats in the Clippers. You still have threats in the Lakers. You still have threats in the New Orleans Pelicans, who nobody seems to be talking about. On the East, it seems pretty similar. Oh, and the Mavericks. But on the East, we know for sure. Phoenix, yes. Oh, it's littered with talent in the Western Conference. And it's also some pretty good teams in the Eastern Conference, too. But the way Boston has played this year, 55-14 so far, 32-3 at home. They will have home court advantage throughout the entirety of the playoffs. They have locked that up for the most part. It seems as if they should be the favorite. However, they have performances every now and again that really scratch your head. You can go to when they got blown out at home by the Clippers. You could talk about when they lost to the Denver Nuggets at home and away. And tonight, they play the Milwaukee Bucks without Giannis Antetokounmpo. Go into the final quarter of, let's see here, they're up 5 plus 8, 13, 13 plus 5. They go into the fourth quarter up 18 points. 18 points, and they get outscored in the third quarter by 15. They barely hang on to a win against Damian Lillard, again with no Giannis Antetokounmpo, and they ended up getting a win only by 3. Danny, as we look at the Boston Celtics and their candidacy to be to win the NBA Finals, can you give me three reasons why you can't bet them to win?
Yeah, I give you more than that.
Obviously, we know they can, but I feel like they're just a hard team to trust.
And I'm going to tell you why. It's hard to trust them because the Boston Celtics we're speaking on, correct? They are just not – and I was talking with the other day. I did a couple radio interviews. I'm doing some of those with Odyssey. It's been fun. It's been smooth. I did some with Cleveland. I did someone recently at Atlanta. And they talked about, do you think Boston, the killer instinct, do they lack that? What is going to give them that killer instinct? And for some reason, I think this year they've broken the record for like most blowout wins, 25-point-plus wins or something like that. They should have blown – they should have doubled it. It should have been in the water. Because the teams that they've played, they've won the games they're supposed to win for the most part, but it's the way they win that makes you not believe in them. You're beating teams that are injured, wounded animals. You're winning by 5-7 points. These are games that should be blowouts. You play Philly without Joel, you should blow them out. You play Milwaukee without Giannis. If you're a powerhouse team, these should be statement games. When they're playing and when they're not playing, you should be beating them by double digits. And when those main stars are not playing, you should be beating them by 20, 25-plus points. There's no way a team like this should keep up with you. And I think it's the lack of depth. That's the one reason why that they could not win the championship from the bench. The lack of maturity and killer instinct, I'll put that in the same category. And I guess the ifs of people having with the leadership and coaching, you know what I'm saying? People are not sure of Joe Mazzulla. I think he is good. I like him. But a lot of the fans, a lot of people on the outside looking in like, yo, if they had this type of coach, would they be better? Would they be this much more mature experience? If they had these type of players or a bench, would they have more killer instinct? Because they don't know how to keep their foot on the gas when it's necessary. Like you have an opponent down. You keep them down. You don't let up for any little bit or give them any type of confidence because you're in a series. All it takes is one shot and one game of a win for a team to get confidence and beat you in the series. You could be up 2-0. We've seen it happen, and teams come back and win 4-2. We've seen it in the finals. We've seen it in the Eastern Conference Finals, us against Milwaukee. We were down 0-2. Phoenix was up 2-0 to Milwaukee. There's no reason why you should have these type of lapses, mistakes, or let your foot off the gas. And it's obviously not the most sense of the urgent mode. You know, you should have some sense of you're preparing for playoffs. And this time, especially against a team like Milwaukee, you got to let them know, like, you have no chance against us. So you should have somewhat of a sense of urgency and letting them know, like, look, no, you got to take advantage of these games, get better, be prepared, and show signs of, like, yo, we're not giving you any light. Because if you do that in the playoffs, you can lose a series by giving a team any type of light or a shooter, give them one shot to make, and then now you're in trouble. You know, so you don't want that.
Yeah, I feel like the reliance on the three-point shot when things are going well and when things are going poorly is just – it has to be concerning. And, yes, they do – by the stats, they do have a good post-up offense. But they when they shoot the threes well, nobody can touch them. We all know that. Yeah. But there's going to be games where they're not shooting the threes well, and then there's going to be teams and there's going to be players who are not going to allow them to take the certain volume of threes that they would like to. They lead the NBA in three-point attempts per game at, I believe, 3.5. Well, when you play certain teams, Danny, and you know this, they're not going to allow you to shoot the threes because they're going to play at a very deliberate pace, which is also something that we know happens a lot more in the playoffs. I think of a team like the New York Knicks. And they have their own set of issues with
slow
with
injuries. Pace. Yeah.
But they play a very slow and deliberate pace. They don't really start their offense to 13 seconds in the shot clock. And so now you come down, you shoot a three, you miss it. Now they're dragging the clock. There's no up and down. You can't beat them in a numbers game. And so there might be teams who see the Boston Celtics when the playoffs, they're not going to give the game plan out now. No. Mm-hmm. But when the playoffs come, if I'm the Bucks, you don't have as many shooters. You don't have as many defenders. I'm Giannis, punishing the post, dunk, 5 seconds of the shot clock. Now y'all got to come up and run your offense for – you want to shoot early in the shot clock again? We're going to pound the rock. Team like the Philadelphia 76ers, if they get Joel Embiid back, if you play at a certain pace, you can beat this Celtics team because they're so reliant – on getting up that three-point volume. And you know this, Danny, as a shooter. Once you start missing one, then the team misses two. Then the team misses three. Now you cold, he's cold, and now he's cold. And so it's
They got to find better ways to score. They have to get to the free throw line more. They have to find more points in the paint because other teams are going to slow the digging down. You got Joel Embiid. He's going to get to the free throw line, get you in foul trouble. And, you know, you're not beating them, getting more threes up. So he's going to score enough twos. He's going to get to the free throw line, slow the game down, and you're not getting attempts that you normally get, which is going to change the whole flow of your offense. So, yeah, they got to do a better job of finding other ways to score, and that's getting in the paint. Obviously, they don't have a post presence like that. KP can shoot the three, but, you know, he's got to find some way to get some more lobs, some in-the-paint finishes. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown get to the paint. Jrue Holiday can get to the paint. Derek White can as well. Al Horford. You know, they have to mix it up some more, and, you know, they have to find other ways to score and hopefully keep their pace up. So defensively, they better make sure they get stops or, you know, create some havoc because if they allow a team to slow the game down, they're going to be in trouble.
Yeah, and the other interesting element with the Boston Celtics, head coach by Joe Mazzulla, I'm starting to feel the same way that I felt or that the public felt about Eric Spoelstra when he was first the coach of the Big Three. There was this notion that he was too young of a job, too big of a job, like you got this great team that should win a title. And Pat Riley gave Eric Spoelstra his vote of confidence, and obviously that paid out well. However, there's no guarantee it's going to go well. And because of Joe Mazzulla's age and his lack of experience, he could very well come under fire. And when he makes a mistake, he's not going to get let off of it. Remember last year in the playoffs, he was getting absolutely buried because he refused to use timeouts. He would let a 12-0 run happen, a 16-0 run happen, or 16-5 run happen and not use a timeout. He needs to learn from that. But I also feel like, and I'm curious to get your thoughts here, because you played for, you know, during your championship years, you played for Greg Popovich,
for Nick Williams.
Roy Williams, and Nick Nurse was his first year, and Frank Vogel, who's obviously been in the league for a while. Do you feel like a coach can actually lose you a series with maybe his lack of preparation or not knowing in-game adjustments, or just frankly, and this could happen with a younger coach, frankly, being nervous?
Being what?
Nervous.
Like, yes, 100%. 100%. The coaches, it comes down to fourth quarter execution and coach, like that's coaching, leadership. When it comes to these teams know each other's plays. When it's close games, this is coaching execution. And it's a chess game after the first two or three games. If it's 2-2, 2-1, or, you know, you got to figure out who's going to make the adjustments. What adjustments is that team going to make? What adjustments do we need to make? And what do I think they're going to make in order for, like, what are they going to change? And how do we adapt to that? So we change this. What are they going to do differently to adapt to that? And what can we do to counteract that? So it's like, you got to figure that out. And if team coaches are not prepared, you're going to get smoked. You're going to get embarrassed. So, yeah, definitely teams could lose a series. But the only reason why I bring up Coach Williams is because he didn't believe in, you know, he always made us fight through the runs. He didn't believe in using his timeouts that way. And I remember Ty Lawson in the tournament one time kind of gave him some, like, he had a quote in the media. It didn't go well. It didn't sit well because, you know, he said Coach Williams didn't use timeouts. You know, we had timeouts. He only used one timeout in like 30. Like, you know, he said something along those lines. We got smoked by Kansas. And then from then on, I'm not saying he changed his ways. He might have used a little bit more when it got to the tournament time. But in the regular season, it's like, yo, I'm not here to save you. You better figure it out. And that's okay. That'll get you prepared for those type of moments. I get during regular season, cool. But in the playoffs, you got to make sure you're prepared, you're ready, and you got to use those timeouts because you can't just let your team get beat up. But those experiences create, you know, they build character. You do need those during the regular season. I was okay with Coach Williams and how he did it. And I said when Joe Mazzulla even did it, it was the playoffs. A lot of people didn't like it, but I'm like, you know, they're mature enough, they're old enough, they've been around, they need to figure it out. And they had TV timeouts. He didn't call timeouts, but they had TV timeouts where they could figure it out. You know what I'm saying? So it wasn't like there wasn't no time they got together and then speak. So I'm not putting it all on the coach. But, yes, yeah, so part of that is, yeah, coaching can definitely hurt you. Was he his first time going around? Was he unprepared? I don't know. I don't think so. But it was a wake-up call. He's learning as well. And I said if this year it doesn't make some changes or adjustments, he's going to get even more. So, you know.
Yeah. It's a big, I mean, coaching for the Boston Celtics is a big deal, and particularly when you have a roster like he has. So a lot of pressure is going to be on him. Obviously, a lot of pressure is going to be on Jason Tatum, who's going to be eligible for the largest contract in NBA history if he ends up making an all-NBA team. And obviously, he'd like to back that up with getting to the finals as well. Man, it's the playoffs are going to be so fascinating because even though they're the clear favorite in the East, I can see the Knicks giving them a hard time. I can see the Bucks giving them a hard time. The Sixers are healthy. Team. I can see them giving them a hard time. And we cannot, and I will not, sleep on the Miami Heat after what they did last year. So, oh, and then there's the Cavaliers, too, which I'm not too confident about them either, but you never know. Should be a fun playoff nonetheless, but more importantly, it's going to be a fun. Man, Danny, we're entering, what is this? It's late March. So basically, March, April, May, June. We got 4 months of the best basketball 2024 on deck. We go straight from March Madness pretty much to the NBA playoffs. It's so going playoffs. To be this is like basketball
April,
vacation.
May, and June, man. April, May, and June. That's what you live for. Those are the months.
Can't get any better. Can't get any better. All right, guys, you know what to do. If you are listening to us on your podcast app, you can find us on YouTube. And if you're listening to us on YouTube, you can obviously find us or watching us on YouTube. You can find us on any podcast app that you prefer. We are at Green Room Inside on Twitter and Inside Green Room on Instagram. That's about us. When we come back on Tuesday, who knows what we'll talk about? But best believe, it'll be about basketball. See you guys next time.
Read, rate, subscribe, review. Catch your boy on Yahoo all month doing the game. So catch y'all soon.